When this service goes to a live stream format, all of a sudden, virtually, all these seats get taken. And people come and join us, not in a way that we can see them sitting next to us, but in a way that they come and enter into this space of worship with us. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So I'm kind of wondering, the question that kind of struck my mind this morning as I was thinking about this time was, how do you prepare for worship? How do you prepare for worship? Now, if you're the preacher, like Deneen is today, and I'm so excited that we're going to get to hear Deneen's first sermon with us. She's preached before, but her first one with us, and I'm really excited about that. She's been working on today for days. Others of us, we get up and go, and what should I wear? And that's how we prepare for work. But it's still a moment where worship goes live in a different way. It's that moment when someone goes and brings the light of Christ into the room. I think in some beautiful ways, whether you've done anything before this moment to be ready for worship or not, that it becomes real, that it becomes refreshing, that it becomes focused, that it becomes that place where God enters in. Temples of our life and our heart, through the rhythms of our gathering and our church and our worship, and reminds us in ways that are more than just about candles and oil, that He's present in the room. So I hope and pray today that whatever you've done to prepare for right now, or not done, that you know that you are welcome in this place, and that the God of all creation desires to meet you right where you are and to speak into your heart with words that offer you exactly what you need today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're worshiping together.
Kingwood United Methodist Church.
Here's some announcements today for worship. Our annual trunk or treat is happening today from 4 to 6 p.m. in the south parking lot by the playgrounds. We'll have inflatables, games, and most importantly, candy. Everybody's bringing hand sanitizer. And for this event, we ask folks to help in a mission project, so If you will bring some toiletries and cozy socks for the girls at Freedom Place, we'd love to have your help with that. If you'd like to open your trunk and hand out candy to kids at this annual event, please come on out tonight and join us. Undecorated cars are welcome too. Get creative. Some people even offer games for the kids in their trunk. Feel free to team up with your small group, your Sunday school class, or a group of friends. Let's all beat Jeremy. That's all we've got to do. Teenagers are welcome, and if you have any additional questions, please contact Wren Holman. Next week, on November the 1st at 6 o'clock p.m., we'll be hosting our drive-in communion service once again in the Society of St. Stephen parking lot across from the main building of the church. We'll gather together to share in a time of worship and share in the Lord's Supper together. We invite you to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, all youth, 6th to 12th grade, mark your calendars for KUMC Student Ministry Fall Retreat. It's November the 13th through 15th. It'll start on Friday night at the KUMC Sanctuary Lawn for worship and teen competitions. Then on Saturday, we'll do high ropes and color wars. I might not be there. At Big River Water Park, and we will close with family worship at Town Center. This will be a different fall retreat, but likely our best ever. Retreat cost is just $60 for the weekend, and there are scholarships available through the J.T. Barger Scholarship Fund. Sign up today on the student page of the church website, and if you're an adult and can help out the chaperone, we need to hear from you as well. For more information, check out the church website at kingwoodumc.org. Thank you.
Amen to that. Good morning, church. I'm Chris Harrison. I'm one of the pastors here at Kingwood United Methodist Church. And this morning, along with Matt and Sheila and Deneen and so many others, we've come here to this place to worship the living Lord. We've already, as we've begun this experience together, those of us gathered in this room, acknowledge that God is present with us as we move into this space together. And my prayer is that wherever you're watching from and however you're engaged with this, and whether it's Sunday morning or not, that you will know that God is with you in bold and beautiful ways. You know, there's so many images, really, of worship and what it means. But one that I love and I think will be totally appropriate for today is it's one of those places that some people describe as thin spaces. It's like the distance between the kingdom of heaven and us becomes minimal. Where we draw closer to God and feel his presence, maybe in ways that we don't in all places of our life. So I invite you, even as we invite ourselves to be aware of God's Holy Spirit, to recognize that in when we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done, that today as we worship together, that we might experience the nearness of God's kingdom to us. Come, let's worship together.
Let us affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
seated.
As we continue in this time of worship together, it's always a good and beautiful thing for us to be mindful of those who are in particular need of prayers, both within our community and those whom I know that you just have on your hearts and in your minds that we may never say out loud. Some of the ones that we're aware of that are in need of special prayers because of illnesses they're going through or surgeries they're having or recoveries that are needed. A couple of staff prayers. Fred Christ has pneumonia and Joe Carbonaro is having shoulder surgery. So please keep them in your prayers. Just prayers for healing and successful surgeries and procedures for Linda Richter and Linda Andrus and Pat Nerode, Ron Bowie, and others who have gone through surgeries and are healing at this time. Also, hopefully a lot of you have seen and hear that next week we take another step in bringing our community back together in a special way. You'll hear more about that in the discipleship connection this morning. But part of that is to re-engage children's and youth Sunday schools. So as we figure that out for next week, be praying for our Sunday school teachers. We've already had a good response. Lots of people are raising their hands and saying, yes, I'm willing to come and teach. And thanks be to God for that. Also, another staff news, our communications director, Sarah Morrison, got married. So celebrating her marriage to Michael Larson and just wishing and praying the best for them as they enter into that next chapter of our life. Also, we had a great blood drive the other day on Friday, and then yesterday's celebration of Dan Pierce's life was just beautiful on so many levels. And I'm so thankful that many of you were here or tuned in online and became a part of that experience. I know Dan's 102-year-old mother got to be a part of it because we live streamed it. So I'm thankful that we've gained those abilities to be able to do that. The last thing I'll say, just in a form of prayer, but before I formally pray, next Sunday too, and 2:00 in the afternoon, we're going to be doing an All Saints service. And so that'll be a time for us to remember those who have lost loved ones. Everybody's welcome. We'll be sure and have plenty of room for the families who will be here. But you're more than welcome to be here as well. That's next Sunday afternoon at 2:00. God, as we gather in this space and as we lift these names up, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that lifting these names up is, it's not just a form of communication and information to those of us who are gathered or who are watching together. It's an act of lifting those names up and placing them into your hands. It's an act of joining our prayers with their prayers because I know that nobody's praying any harder for these moments than the people who are affected by them. But God, you give us the ability and you call us as your people to join one another in prayer, to cry when we cry, to mourn when we mourn, to laugh when we laugh, to celebrate together this thing called life that you place us in the midst of. And so, God, when we lift up events that are going to happen, when we lift up people and individuals who are in need of prayer, when we think of our country and the things that we're going through, the highs and the lows, the challenges and the triumphs, God, to be able to celebrate all of that and place it in your hands is one of the great blessings and privileges of what it means to be church. God, I'm so thankful for your Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful that even in those moments when I don't feel worthy of your presence, that never stops your presence. Those moments where I feel like that I'm so far away from you that as soon as I turn around, as soon as the scales drop from my eyes, as soon as I quit having a pity party or thinking less of myself than you think of, that you are right there close as the next breath and the next beat of my heart. God, I know that even as I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that's not just about what happens after I breathe my final breath here on earth. Because when I look around, when I live with eyes wide open and ears wide open, I see your kingdom all over the place. Intruding into this world, into the apathy or the ruttedness of our lives, I see your kingdom in the faces and smiles of others, in the moments where somebody is willing to be inconvenienced or do something that's uncomfortable. I see your presence. I see your kingdom coming. God, I want to be part of that. I want to give my life to that. And I want to devote my life to helping other people give their lives to that. So God, come. In ways that we can't imagine. Help us to be kingdom people. To follow you. To love like you love. And serve like you serve. Help us, Lord. Help us to be like you. So that as others see us and hear us and know us, they realize they've gotten another glimpse of you and your kingdom. Help us to be your church, your people as you've created us, Lord. And to help us to take a step towards being that by joining our voices together in the prayer that you taught us to pray when we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello, KUMC Church family. Thank you for your continued support of KUMC that helps us to continue offering ministry and live from the core of our belief that there is more to life in Christ. I'm excited to share with you today another update on our reopening that adds additional worship services and Sunday school for children and youth. All this information is posted on the church webpage and will begin on November the 1st. So on November the 1st, we will move traditional worship to 9:30 a.m., and we will be adding Avine Contemporary Worship at 9:30 a.m. as well. Please note that the time change is from 9 to 9:30 for our Sunday morning worship. We will also be offering Sunday school for children of all ages and youth at 9:30. An email will be going out directly to all the families with children and youth. At 11 o'clock, we will continue the Vine worship and our Spanish-speaking refugio service, but we will also be adding a traditional worship service at 11 o'clock. What we have heard is that many of you are ready to return to worship in person following our established protocols. We ask that you register your attendance when you enter the building to worship, that you wear a mask or face covering while in the building, and that you practice appropriate physical distancing. What we're able to do is because of your faithful giving. If you are in worship with us today, we invite you to leave your offering in the basket by the door as you leave today. If you are worshiping with us online, there are three ways that you can help support the ministry of Kingwood United Methodist Church. Those are on the screen now for you. You can go to the church webpage and click the Give button and follow the instructions you find there. You can email a check to our P.O. Box, and you can use the text to give feature, and the number is on your screen now for you as well. Thank you for the many ways you support Kingwood United Methodist Church. In this season, when we've not been able to be together as much physically, from time to time we hear of families who are moving through that time of moving closer to family. Tom and Lori Barbie have been a part of KUMC for the past 12 years. Some of you may recognize Tom from being with the Foundation Brass that blesses often in worship. And Lori, you've heard sing many times before. We wanted to bring them into the context as you've heard Lori's beautiful song this day and be able to give them a prayer of blessing. And I get the privilege of doing that on your behalf as they move closer to family. So we won't be seeing them around much in person, but you'll still be in our hearts. So, church family, join me in prayer. God, we're grateful for the sacred ties that bind us in the times of joining together, in times of worship, times of music. We give you thanks for the ways that Tom and Lori have contributed in leadership, not only in music, but also in organizing events around music that has touched the soul of many in the life of the church. We pray your blessing upon them in this time of life transition as they move to be closer to family. Would you keep them safe in that transition? And you would remind us all that there will always be a part of our heart that belongs to them and part of the heart of KUMC that will always have a place for them with us. Send your blessing upon them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's stay in touch through the gifts of technology. And it's been a joy for my brief time here to share this journey with you. God bless.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning, it's Whitney.
How are you guys?
Good.
Okay, so I have some questions for you. I am going to put on a hat or kind of show you an outfit, and I want you to tell me what job goes along with that item, okay? So are you ready? So what, if I put this on, what am I? What am I?
I'm a construction worker.
I'm a construction worker. Very good. If I put on this, what am I?
A pilot.
A pirate. That's right. If I put on this,
queen.
What am I, Celeste?
Queen or queen?
I'm a king or a queen. Very good. I won't fit into these, but if I were to put these on,
fireman.
A fireman. Very good. I'm a fireman. Okay, so now what if I put this on? What am I?
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
A man.
A man?
Pilot.
Jesus.
Caveman.
Caveman. Jack.
Caveman.
Caveman, what do you think?
I'm on the streets.
Okay, so.
I know.
Okay, hold on. Listen. Oh, you said Jesus? We had two Jesuses and lots of other things. So. All of these were pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
All of these things. But when I put this on, we had a lot of different opinions. A lot. So this was very confusing. And two of you said it. Two of it was supposed to be for Jesus. And in our scripture today, in Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter asked, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So, when back in Jesus' time, people were really confused of who he was. They knew that a Savior was coming. Some people knew it was Jesus. Other people weren't really sure. Some people thought maybe Jesus was John the Baptist or he was a prophet. But Peter figured it out. Peter figured it out in his heart, and he knew that it was Jesus. And Jesus said, you will build my rock. You are the rock, and you will build my church. And now, when you get a little bit older and you really learn who Jesus is and all the gifts that he's given you, then he's going to show you that plan that he has for you. And you, some of you already have really great talents that you can share with others. What are some things that you think that, how do you help others? What are some things that you do to help others? What are some talents maybe God has given you for you to help others? What do you think?
To be kind.
To be kind, absolutely. Jesus wants us to be kind. What else, Max?
Kind, respectful, responsible.
Okay, good. What about if there's a kid at school and they're new and they don't have anybody to sit with? You can be kind to them, and they don't have any friends. So what can you do?
Yeah.
You can be their friend, that's right.
Be friends with them. You can love them at recess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What if you have a friend that is maybe not feeling well and has to stay home? What can you do for them? What can you do for them?
Write a note.
You can write a note? Absolutely you can. And some of you are really great artists and you can draw pictures for people. I know a lot of you have sent pictures to people in nursing homes or your neighbors to kind of just lift their spirits. So Jesus gives us these gifts and we use these gifts to spread his love and to let others know about him. Just like Peter was going to be the one to build the church, and Peter was going to be he was one of his best friends, that's right. He was going to go spread his message, just like Jesus wants you guys to spread his message as well. So would you guys pray with me? Dear God, thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
And thank you for all the gifts you've given us.
Thank you for all the gifts you've given us.
Help us use them.
Help us use them.
To spread your love to others.
To spread your love to others.
We love you so much.
We love you so much.
Amen.
Amen.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Good morning, Kingwood.
Good morning.
It is a custom that we stand for the reading of our word. Our scripture passage for today is going to be found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all of the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Whatever you do, please don't take your spirit away from me. Grant me the authority to feed your people, rightfully dividing your word, to which you get all the glory and the honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we conclude this Amplified series, I must admit that I am both honored and nervous. When Dr. Palmer gave me this assignment, he just politely and calmly followed it up by letting me know that this is one of, if not his favorite, passage of scripture. No pressure. There's no pressure. None. But I said to myself, I said, Lord, you sure have a way of making me laugh. But then something happened. I began to sit with the text. And then my laughter turned into celebration because I began to celebrate what God was speaking to me for his people through this passage of scripture. Now let me pause right here and invite you to visit this passage in its entirety, which is Matthew 16, verses 13 through 28. But for the purpose of time, I will primarily deal with verses 15 through 19. So here we have Jesus, who's with his disciples. Understand that they are in Caesarea Philippi, which was a place known for pagan worship, meaning the people in this territory worshiped other gods. This place was so infiltrated with idolatry that even King Herod made a place of worship for the people to specifically worship Caesar. which leads me to believe that Jesus was being methodical and intentional in asking his disciples, but who do you say I am? In my study time, I began to ask God, why would you ask your disciples this question? The disciples that you handpicked, Lord, you handpicked to walk with you and to align with you. And so why then would you ask them, who are you to them? But when I began to understand the text, I began to understand the context, and I began to understand the mission. I had to stop and remember that the Gospel of Matthew focuses heavily on discipleship. And disciples are defined as those who have radically conformed their lives to the teachings of Jesus. And what I love about this gospel is that it highlights the humanity of the disciples and that it highlights their failures. Now, I know someone is saying, Pastor D, why would you like that Matthew talks about the failures of the disciples? And I say, I love the Gospel of Matthew because it shows how even in our love and our calling to serve Jesus, we will sometimes fall short and fail. But he still loves us and he still purposes us for his glory. But that's another sermon for another time. So again, I asked the Lord, Lord, why did you ask this question to those who have radically conformed their lives to you, known as your disciples? But I now firmly believe in my Holy Ghost Spirit that there was a proclamation that Jesus was looking for his disciples to make for his name's sake. Isn't it just like God to put us in places that opposes what we believe in and what we stand for, like Caesarea Philippi, and ask us this redundant question, who am I to you? Because it's a powerful thing when you can stand in the place of opposition and boldly and fearlessly proclaim to know Jesus as your Savior. And considering the world that we live in today, I am sure that many of us have found ourselves in the company of non-believers, those that don't profess Christ as their Lord, and perhaps those that doesn't even care to. Some of us have relatives, because I know I have some relatives, that know the way but choose not to follow Christ. Yet Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, Jesus, Son of the living God. And he tells Peter, you're blessed. You're blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. I came here today to tell you all that Peter wasn't only blessed, but Peter's name was changed. Because you have to understand, when you boldly proclaim his name, he'll change your name. Remember, Peter's name was changed from Simon Peter to Peter. He went from being his old man to being this new man in Christ. Peter was in the Holy Ghost. For 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So what am I saying? I'm saying that God wants to change your name for his name's sake, but first you have to proclaim his name. You have to be willing to go against the grain and to stand for holiness and for righteousness and allow him to change your name. I hear you. I know somebody is saying, Pastor D, how is it possible that my name changed? I mean, I can't go back and change my birth certificate. But see, this name change is not literal. It's spiritual. And you'll know when your name has been changed in the spirit, because when you come into true intimate relationship with Christ, you don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You don't think the same. The things you used to do, you don't do no more. The places you used to go, you don't go anymore. And it'll be confirmed to you through the people that are closest to you, Because you'll have people tell you, you know, you don't look the same. You got a glow about yourself. And that glow is Jesus. And so here's where we celebrate. And that after he changes our name, he gives us a greater access to him by giving us the keys. The keys, the keys, the keys, and the keys. He gives us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And these keys, and with these keys comes power. You see, he has given us the power just like he gave Peter, which reminds you means rock. Because after Simon Peter became Peter, he told him, now I can build upon you. I can use you for my glory, and the gates of Hades, which means hell, will never prevail. Oh yes, my friends, when you take a stance for Jesus, not only will he change your name, but he'll give you the kingdoms. He'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And these keys will give you the authority to bind everything that hell throws your way. And and to loose every ungodly thing that the devil, the enemy, seeks to tie you to. And the great thing is that heaven backs you up. Understand that heaven is equivalent to a cosigner. Have you ever had someone to cosign for you? You see, the cosigner solidifies your name. A cosigner says that you're good for whatever debt you owe. And that's what heaven does. It solidifies us. It tells the world that we're good for whatever debt we owe. And so as I close, I want to share with you a personal story of mine. About 2 weeks ago, my mom's car wouldn't start. And this was problematic because it's a 2019. And so imagine the confusion we were all in when her car wouldn't start. And so our neighbor across the street, he's a policeman, and he was on his way to work. But because we were so shook, we were standing out there just looking at each other. He stopped to help. And this is just to give you an idea of the dismay that we were in. And so after a short time, my mom went into the house, and she got my keys, because I have a copy of her keys. And she went back out to the car, and it started right up. But this still left her with mixed emotions, because she really wanted to know why her 2019 automobile would not start up with her particular key. So she immediately left and went back to the dealership. And they told her they can give her a new battery. But after checking, nothing was wrong with her key. And so what am I saying, beloved? I'm simply saying, be not dismayed. When situations arise in your life, and it'll seem as if the same keys that God gave you to the kingdom of heaven don't work, and will leave you feeling perplexed and full of emotions. But that's when you got to go back to the source. You got to be like my mother, and she went back to the dealership, the same dealership that gave her the keys to her car. You have to go back to your source, Jesus, the one that gave you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And even with having the keys with the kingdom of heaven, there will be times where you will feel as if your prayers are not working and they aren't being heard. And the things that you are facing in life are not moving in your favor. Oh, but I came to tell you today that it is in those times where you have to do like James 4:7 tells us, to resist the devil and he will flee. Because the adversary wants to rob us of what God has given us. He wants us to feel spiritually incompetent. For his desire is to sift us as wheat. But we must be like Peter, and we must be a rock that Christ our Lord can build upon. In the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so Before I take my seat, I just want to just ask you a simple question. But who do you say Jesus is to you? Who is he to you? Is he the Messiah? Is he your Lord and Savior? I pray that you answer this according to your faith, for it is your faith that will lead you to receiving the keys to the kingdom. Amen.
And we are called to respond. I invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn together, Take Up Thy Cross.
As we depart this place, but never his presence, I want to encourage each of you to go out into the world knowing that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you to allow your earthly keys in those times where you will feel defeated and the enemy will come to try to sift you as wheat. I want you to allow your earthly keys to be representative of your spiritual keys that God has given you. For we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for worshiping with us today. If you would exit throughout this exterior door, if you're going to Sunday school, you can head out this way. We thank you for worshiping with us this morning.
Kingwood United Methodist Church.